Welcome back to the Final Shot Podcast. Today, the show is brought to you by The Wellness Company. Go over to twc.health/final shot. Make sure you put the /final shot in there because you will save some money on your purchase. Scroll through their products and check it and see what they have. They have multiple med kits that you can purchase. If you're in America, you can get the one with ivermectin. If you're in Canada, obviously not, because we live in a communist country. But go over and look at the spike support. If you've had COVID-19, if you've had a vaccine, if you've been exposed due to shedding to somebody that's tested positive for COVID, get the spike support, get it in your system, and it'll help you shed the spike protein out of your system, along with doing some other stuff like intermittent fasting or a 3-day fast, or ingesting like a lot of water, vitamin D, stuff like that. But the spike support will help you shed that spike protein out of your system. I'm going to mention some of my other sponsors today because I got some emails and they said you're forgetting about us, and I apologize for that because I've been so hell-bent on talking about The Wellness Company and getting their products into people's hands that I kind of let them go by the wayside. But since day one that I've been doing this podcast, I've always been sponsored by Onnit, and I have to thank them and Joe Rogan for their sponsorship. I don't know what I would have done without a sponsor at the beginning of this show, because I would have been paying for it out of my own pocket. But go over to Onnit.com, use the promo code Final Shot on that one too, and you will save 10 or 15% on your purchase depending on the product that you get. They have a very great product called Alpha Brain. I've used that for years, probably over a decade. Get some Alpha Brain, Shroom Tech Immune. All their products over there are great. You can get battle ropes, maces, you can get freeze-dried food, whatever you want. You can get it at onnit.com and use the promo code Final Shot. Guys, today my guest, we're going to do part two of a podcast that I did earlier with Dr. James Thorpe. Dr. Thorpe, how are you today?
I am really honored to be your guest again, and thank you so much for having me back on The Final Shot.
I'm excited to have you back on because we did an hour and a half podcast before, and we kind of went through a whole bunch of stuff with the maternal side of the COVID vaccines and COVID-19. And then towards the end of that show, we really got rolling on what was kind of happening in the world today. We were discussing Donald Trump. Now we've got some fun stuff to talk about Donald Trump tonight, and we're rolling on current events that were happening in the world. And you were very insightful with what you were saying. So last night was Super Tuesday in America. Donald Trump came out and he did actual like a steamroll of Nikki Haley in those primary votes. So Where do you sit with the what's going on with the American politics right now?
Well, I have to be completely transparent. I've extricated myself completely after the last election was stolen. You know, I have to protect my heart. You know, and it's very easy for me to make a transition from righteous to unrighteous anger over the United States of America right now. And I believe that this is very painful as a disabled veteran, not disabled in combat, but I was an Air Force officer, mm-hmm. and served in the Air Force, signed on the dotted line to give my life up for my country. It pains me greatly to say that I've given up on my country. We're terminally fascist, and I don't see any road to recover. I don't see any light. I don't see any hope. Certainly not any hope in the politicians. The communists have been grooming this country for now 60 years or 70 years since World War II. They've brainwashed all the children, all the universities, and, you know, all the younger generation, over 70% of them, you know, just believe in the nonsense and the fascism and believe in that freedom of speech should not exist. And this is not the country I believe in. And I don't see any way around it. I personally don't think that there will be any elections. I don't think we'll ever see elections this year. And I've had that strong feeling since the election was stolen. I have no respect for any of the politicians. I do think, and I did think, that Donald Trump was the greatest president in the history of the United States of America. I'm concerned about his inability to I'm concerned about his inability to fess up and admit that he really screwed up with the vaccine. And I don't know how to deal with that. But I really don't trust anybody, and I don't want to invest my emotion and my hope in the United States of America or the government, because I think they're terminally corrupt. I do think what's going to happen this summer is you're going to see a repeat of 4 years ago. I think the fascist Antifa and BLM will start burning down the cities again. I wouldn't be surprised if there's civil war next month. You know, I see what's going on. As I understand, there's 26 states that are willing, as I interpret things, to go to war if the federal troops come in and try to take down the barricades that have been put up on our southern border.
So I'll give you, hand to God, my honest opinion of what I think is going to happen in American politics over the next, until January, May, or January 6th is when the next president would maybe able to take a seat. I do believe that you will see the run-up to an election with Donald Trump and Joe Biden. I don't think that anybody is going to make it to a ballot box. I think that what potentially could happen, because right now what I'm seeing is the Democrats are kind of scurrying, because unfortunately they had their plant in there, Nikki Haley, and she couldn't derail Donald Trump on his way to being somebody that the people could vote for. I personally think that Donald Trump will probably be assassinated, and that, or on the other hand of that, Donald Trump will get elected, and the Democrats will take the House and the Senate, and they will refuse to recognize him as the president of the United States, and the United States will fall into civil war.
Yeah, I could certainly see that. You know, the other, I really believe what Tucker Carlson said too. I think we discussed this on the last time we were together, but you know, he said earlier this year, late last year, last fall, that you know, there's been so much high treason and crimes committed by, you know, the liberal left, really since really going back to the Clintons and through Obama. There's been so many illegal high treason committed that they will not allow a conservative to come into office, or they'll be held accountable. So, you know, Tucker Carlson said that they, you know, they all have their luxury bunkers. They would all rather see the nukes fly, and they'll be fine, and it'll accomplish their objective of depopulation and averting them from literally being hung or imprisoned for the rest of their lives.
Mm-hmm. Well, when I hear a lot of people in America, they say they'd never move to Canada. Or they feel sorry for Canadians. Like, America's not far off of what we're dealing with over here. Like, we're just a test run. It's coming. It's coming very, very quickly, especially when you see the bills that the Liberal government's trying to put in here in Canada. We've got this hate speech bill where if you're out talking,
I read about that.
You're out talking to your friends about God, or anything along a line that's anti-LGBTQ or anti-COVID vaccine or anti-liberal narrative, you could face up to life in prison or a $500,000 fine.
I read that. It's horrifying.
How terrifying is that?
Horrifying. So,
as a conservative speaking man, what's the first thing that I'm thinking about doing? I don't know. I can't talk to you on the World Wide Web anymore. I can't post a show, or I'm going to get locked up in a gulag for the rest of my entire life. Realistically, that threat's not going to stop me, because people still need to know this.
Right.
But
it's frightening. I think I saw that probably in the last probably 5 days or so ago, and I was just shocked. I couldn't believe it.
And then we have the conservative leader, Pierre Poilievre, doing a press conference telling everybody in Canada what the Liberal leader has done, all the crimes that he's committed, and where are our police right now? What are they doing? Pulling people over and giving them traffic tickets. Go arrest this man. Get him out of the way. He's literally committed high treason against our country.
Yes, he has.
And
he's killed and injured a lot of Canadian citizens, as has our administration.
Joe Biden has done the same thing. Where is the American military? What is happening? Why are we not rounding these guys up and putting them in prison? So who's actually calling the shots? Because Joe Biden's definitely not. He's a piece of regenerated beef jerky. He has no idea whether he's coming or going. He's just after the next cone of ice cream and his next nap.
That's right.
Justin Trudeau is the hand puppet of Klaus Schwab. He's the golden boy of the WEF. He's the leader of tomorrow. That's only setting us up for a new world order. That's it. They're setting us up for a takeover. This is going to be the Hunger Games very quickly.
I believe you're right.
So when you do the math, and we've got, 38 million people in Canada, America's got, 308 million, 380 million people?
340, maybe 335 million, somewhere in that range.
That's a lot of people. What do you do if half of those people just say no?
Well, yeah, that's a great question, but it doesn't seem like the population has the ethical, moral, and intellectual integrity to understand what's going on. My children don't.
Well,
they've been brainwashed.
I have a 13-year-old and a 4-year-old, and my 13-year-old gets it because I don't let them understand the liberal side of it. It's insanity to me that my child would go to school and be able to pick up an LGBTQ book or a book that's telling them how to do sexual deeds. That's insane to me.
It's so wrong.
But you talk to a liberal parent and they're like, oh, well, they need to know these things. They should be teaching that in school. You don't have the right to tell me that.
That's right.
What are you, or you run into one of these people from the LGBTQ community that are pro this way. And they want to preach to your kids. And I say, well, where are your kids? Oh, you don't have any. So you don't have a right to speak.
Right.
If you want to teach that to your kids, I can't stop you, and I'm not going to stop you, and I'm not even going to try. But if you come over to my yard and you want to teach my kids your way of thinking, you're going to get escorted out very quickly.
Yeah. Amen. I'm with you on that one.
I don't understand where society went wrong. I believe it's probably TV.
Yeah, I think there's a strong spiritual aspect to it as well. I mean, it's right out of sacred scripture, actually. Right out of Romans 1.
When you look at what they're trying to censor now, they're trying to censor the Bible. When have we ever... The stories in the Bible are fantastic. They're entertaining, and they teach you what's right and wrong. Why would we censor that?
Yeah. You know, I think Paul said it best in Romans 1. You know, when you mock God and you be your own God, and God gives you over to delusion. And that's exactly what I see. I see Justin Trudeau, who thinks he's his own God, and he's become completely deluded, as Klaus Schwab and the rest of these nitwits. Most of our administration, they're godless people. And you know, listen, we kicked God and prayer out of the classroom in 1963, and things have gone rather south progressively since then. And, you know, I believe that God did choose the United States as the greatest country in the history of the world. But guess what? we rejected him, and we also rejected his covering and his grace and his protection. And we are seeing the consequences of it. That's my opinion. I've studied the Bible. I've been a student of the Bible my whole life, and that's how I see it. We are reaping what we've sown. We are getting exactly what we've asked for. We've eliminated God. We've eliminated, and we've become our own gods, and we will pay the price. I believe that 9/11 was a wake-up call, was a warning. You know, I find that very, very interesting. We repented as a nation and came together for just a little bit, but then a month later, 3 months later, we're back up to the same, you know, irreverence, you know, killing of innocent lives, you know, aborting a million babies a year, things that are really evil. And we celebrate that as a nation. So, you know, that's my take on it. But that's my refuge. It's not politics.
So the saying is true, though. History does repeat itself over and over and over and over again. We've seen, well, I haven't seen, but you can read about it, the Alexander the Great reign, where they were the greatest nation in the world. They went crazy, too.
That's right.
The Romans, they fell off.
That's right. English,
they fell off.
That's
right. It's our turn now.
Yes, it is.
We're going to fall off, but this is the biggest one. Hands down, we have the most technology, the most people, and this is the scariest time for this to happen.
Yeah. You know, when I was, it was 1979, you know, I was in medical school from 75 to 79, and it was an ugly time in the United States of America. You know, towards 78, 79, we were still licking our wounds from Vietnam. We had one of the worst presidents in the history of the United States, which, by the way, was Jimmy Carter. And by the way, he was a disgrace, in my opinion, to the American people. But he allegedly was a godly man. And what I learned from that is that, you know, there is no correlation between a godly man and a good president and an ungodly man and a good president. It's really disassociated. And you know, it was like that as one of the history lessons of the Bible. You know, God doesn't necessarily choose somebody who's following him. You know, King Cyrus is a great example. King Cyrus was prophesied by God for 200 years before he came to reign, and was spoke of as a man of God who God was going to be used. And he did that. A lot of people have compared Trump to King Cyrus. In fact, you know, I have 12 silver coins that overshadow President Trump in the foreground, a side shot with King Cyrus in the background, that were minted by the Jews over in Israel after he moved the capital from to Jerusalem. I mean, Trump really has fulfilled a lot of godly principles of this country, like King Cyrus did to the Jews when they were in Babylonian exile. Exactly that. So, you know, there's a lot of correlation between that. And but anyways, you know, Jimmy Carter, he was a horrible president. I mean, he was awful. And he was a God-fearing man. I'll give him that. I think he truly was, he and his wife, Rosalynn. But, you know, 1979, we were looking pretty bad. Inflation was horrible. You may recall that we were just taken hostage in Iran with the Iranian hostage crisis. And that went on and on and on. And then, you know, we had Jimmy Carter with his, you know, I want to be careful not to get too crude here, but his spineless efforts to retrieve those, the failed rescue mission, that was horrible. Mm-hmm. You know, and we there were gas lines, double digit inflation. It was horrible. And then in 1980, in February 22nd, 1980, was, I believe, a turning point in the United States of America. It was a symbolic turning point. And it was the famous Miracle on Ice hockey game, hockey team, when the United States of America, who were just a bunch of pathetic kids, they were kids, they were amateurs, young kids, put together by Herb Brooks, who went up against professional Red USSR Red Army team that was probably the best team, hockey team ever in the history of the world. And I watched that game. And when I saw Herb Brooks and those kids defeat the USSR Red Army professional team, who beat the NHL All-Stars, massacred them just months before, and Herb Brooks and those amateur kids, punks, beat the USSR team, that was a symbolic turn of events in the history of the United States of America. And then what happened? Then Ronald Reagan came into office. You got the Miracle on Ice, and then Ronald Reagan comes into office, and the United States of America shone brightly again. And I think it was a series of events. I don't see that happening in 2024.
I would love for it to happen. Donald Trump roll in and just flip this thing, but there's too many variables.
Yeah.
There's way too many variables out there right now. You see the persecution that guy's under with these Fugazi court cases that they have going on, and then you got W or MSNBC screaming all kinds of lies all over the place, and then Stormy Daniels and all kinds of nonsense and classified documents in Mar-a-Lago, but the other guy, Joe Biden's got him sitting in his garage, open boxes with a Corvette. It's wild.
It's exactly what it says in the good book, in Isaiah chapter 5, verses 20. I mean, it says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitterness for sweet and sweet for bitterness. I mean, everything's upside down. I mean, and, you know, you can't change the culture. You cannot change the fact that, you know, that 70% of our youth are brainwashed. You can't change that.
It's tough. It's very hard for a small amount of a population to be able to combat the amount of brainwashing, misinformation that's being spread around on mainstream news. Realistically, me sitting here doing this show might help 100 people. Might, who knows? If every conservative listener that I had would send this show to 10 of their liberal friends, maybe we might be able to make a small dent in what's happening here. But my name's not Joe Rogan or Alex Jones.
Exactly.
So it's a difficult hill to try to get over, but I'm going to keep plugging away. And if I can help one person, then I feel that I've done some sort of a job, and hopefully that'll help. But just if they're, even if people are listening to it and they think I'm a nutcase, write me an email. Tell me I'm crazy. As long as I know you're, I can see my downloads. But as long as if I can start interacting with more of the listeners, that would be fantastic for me. I'm not going to bring them on the show because I don't want to get yelled at. But I have zero problem interacting with anybody on any of these subjects. If you think I'm wrong, please tell me, because I don't think I'm wrong. And I would say 100% of the smart people that I talk to on this show don't think I'm wrong. Everybody from the wellness company that I've talked to is 100% smarter than I am.
Well, I can't vouch for the veracity of that. You're a pretty brilliant young man.
Thank you. But you're bringing on doctors like yourself that have been in the medical industry since, well, forever. Like how long have you been working in the medical industry now? 40 years, 50 years?
45, going on 45 years this June.
You've seen everything.
Yeah, I've seen a lot. I've been in practice for 45 years doing obstetrics this June. So it's been a wonderful career, you know. My wife and I were out over the weekend and we had to make a trip over Fort Worth, Texas to take care of her ailing parents. And we stopped at a place and saw a really young couple and picked up a chat with them. And they told us, well, you know, they were just celebrating. They were at this same place that we were, actually in Vicksburg, Mississippi, that was so cool. It was the Cedar Oak Lodge, which was just incredibly historic in the Civil War, ironically. But these kids were, they looked like they were 17, maybe they were 25, but they were young, beautiful kids celebrating their first year of marriage. And, you know, I kind of looked at my wife afterwards and, you know, at 70 years of age now, and, you know, those kids look so happy and so young, but
yeah.
I would never want to be their age now. I'm so grateful that, you know, I'm winding my life up and not living and in their shoes, because there's not much good that is coming their way in this country.
Well, it's very stressful having children. Like 30 years ago, it was stressful having children, but try having children in this climate right now.
Right.
What a wild time. You got to be worried about who they're, like, what friends talking to who and who's doing what and what's going on Snapchat. And you don't know anymore because there's so many freaks that are running around. They're predators. They're looking to prey on your children.
That's exactly right.
So I would have, the one thing I would have advised that young couple, if they didn't have children, maybe have that conversation that you might not want to have them right now until we clean this mess up or this mess is over with.
Yeah. It's hard to have that talk with, you know, it's I have three biologic daughters, two stepkids, and my daughters are 40, 37 and 35. And, you know, they were brought up in a strong, conservative Christian home. And, you know, for the most part, at least two of them are completely lost. They voted for Biden. You know, it's like, that says it all.
That's a tough pill to swallow as a parent, though, isn't it?
Horrible. It's horrible. I got very upset and angry. But, you know, it is what it is. You know, you're not, they're living in their culture and in their universities and their high schools and their friends. And, you know, that's their reality. There's absolutely zero. And they're very brilliant kids. They're all very brilliant and very well educated, brainwashed.
But they're very aware of what you're doing as well.
Well, they do not like it at all. One of the three, my oldest, interesting, who is a rebel, is on our wavelength.
Okay.
I
was the bad kid too.
She's the oldest and the rebel. The other two are very embarrassed by what I'm doing. They don't want to have anything to do with what I'm doing. They don't want to talk about anything. They don't want to know the truth. They don't want to speak of the truth. And it's really very disconcerting.
That is. You brought up your lovely wife a couple times on the show already. I received a paper today that it looks like the both of you wrote.
Yes.
I don't want to butcher it, so I'm going to let you explain this paper, and we'll kind of dive into it a little bit.
Yeah. So, you know, just to give you some background, you know, on Maggie, she's an attorney. She's also got a divinity degree from Duke, and she's been an active legal practice, and for which she actually was in the area of litigation and did quite well in terms of taking down some pretty large companies for fraud, and did quite well. She subsequently left the law firm just because there was so much corruption in it, and is now, for the most part, doing full-time research and writing with me. So we've been using this America Out Loud platform, and I would encourage your readers to go through that America Out Loud. It's a conservative, truthful network. Dr. McCullough and several of the other folks that you know well are also on that platform. But Maggie and I have written probably 15 pieces, and our pieces are unique. We do a they're brief. They're not overly detailed. They're not too steeped in medical minutiae, which puts everybody to sleep, or legal minutiae, but they're a combination of medical legal briefs. And I think in the last 18 months, we probably have about 15 of those articles. But yes, the last one we just published, it was just published on Sunday, and it's gone viral. And basically what we did was call for an immediate moratorium on the COVID vaccines in pregnancy. And we kind of described exactly and in detail how the whole industry has been turned upside down with their own lies. And we look at three of the players, which are the main three organizations that govern my area of obstetrics. And that's the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecology. And by the way, they govern over Canadian OBGYNs and American, North America and South America. They, not all the countries in South America, but a spate, maybe six or eight countries in South America. So 60,000 OBGYN docs. And so then the second organization is American Board of Obstetrics and Gynecology, ABOG. And they're the organization that does the credentialing and has the punitive teeth. And then the third organization is my subspecialty, which is international, but it's the Society for Maternal Fetal Medicine. And it's a global, mostly United States of America, but we have global members in that. But it's these three organizations, which I call the unholy trinity of the mother baby death cult. ACOG, ABOG, and SMFM are the three organizations that have perpetrated the mass injury and murder of women, preborns and newborns globally. Because as you know, as goes America, so goes the rest of the world. And we in this narrative, and it's not that long, it's a very easy to follow narrative, but we go from say 2020 to like 3 years later, and we go through their narrative of lies. So for example, you know, it was 3 years ago when these organizations, in addition to everybody else, were saying, okay, no, the mRNA shots, the COVID-19 mRNA, vaccine mRNA just stays in the arm. Well, we knew that was a lie, because the reason why the lipid nanoparticles were developed 10 years earlier was that, listen, they're 10 millionth of a centimeter. They're 100 nanometers. You know, they're nanoparticles, 100 nanometers. They're tiny. They were made to distribute to every cell of the body to break every God-made barrier in the body. So we knew that was a lie, but that's what they said. And when we talked about, you know, this is really concerning that they're putting a man-made artificial mRNA into the body, and, you know, there's a potential for that becoming incorporated into the DNA and causing problems. All, you know, we were mocked and laughed at. But then what happens in 2022, 2 years ago, about this same month, actually it was February of 2022, we cite the paper of Alden and colleagues, I believe from Northern Europe, and they, for the first time, published 2 years ago this month that indeed the mRNA of the vaccine was reverse transcribed and permanently incorporated into a human liver cell. Now, it wasn't in a real body. It was in what we call in vivo. It wasn't in real life. It was in the lab. It was a human liver cell. So we call that in vitro. But indeed, 2 years ago. So that's Alden and colleagues. And then later that same year in 2022, we have a group, an expert that proved and showed that the mRNA, vaccine mRNA, was actually shed and excreted intact in a natural package produced by the cell we call a lysosome or an exosome, and it was excreted in breast milk. That was Hanna and colleagues. So that was, and then a year later, Hanna and colleagues in a second study proved the same thing. So you have the intact, full-length vaccine mRNA excreted in breast milk. So if it's excreted in breast milk, that means a lipid nanoparticle was distributed to every exocrine, every cell in the body. And so it was repackaged and likely shed from every bodily fluid and from the exhaled air, which is a dastardly, very scary thought.
Oh.
And then we have earlier this year, we have the study that was published by Lynn and colleagues in our main American Journal of Obstetrics and Gynecology. It's been around since 1865. It's the most respected medical journal in my specialty forever. We call it the Gray Journal. And these authors bragged about the fact and thought it was a good thing that for the first time, they reported that the vaccine mRNA went through the placental barrier, which we already knew. I knew it did, but they stated it and proved it. It went into the fetal blood. It went into the placenta, and it went into the tissues of the mother in the uterus that are immediately adjacent to the fetus, the baby inside the uterus. And not only did it go into those tissues, but it was bioactive and it produced spike protein.
Wow.
So we've gone, and then they had the audacity to say, well, this is a good thing, when 2 years ago, a study was actually published saying that, oh, this didn't occur. So that was a really good thing back then. But now when these authors show that it does occur, oh, it's a really good thing. You know, that is not a good thing. And then finally, just a few weeks ago, a genetics physician who owns a couple startup genetic companies, one of them Meronomics, and his name is Michele Rejic from Canada. And he has the first data showing that indeed the vaccine mRNA is reverse transcribed into the human genome, into human DNA. And God forbid, you know, if the same thing occurs, you know, we call the regular cells somatic cells that have 46 chromosomes, but the special cells that are involved in procreation, we call gametes, and they only have 23. It's either an ova in the woman or a sperm in the male. We call those gametes. Probably the same thing will probably be proven in the sperm and ova. So if the same thing is proven in sperm and ova, which I have no doubt it probably will be, maybe later this year, what does that mean? That means that our worst nightmare has been achieved. That is the man-made mRNA that codes, has a genetic code for the most lethal bioweapon ever produced, is permanently reverse transcribed into the human genome and into human sperm and the human ovaries, and will be multi-generational permanent. That's what we're looking at right now, and that's frightening.
So what you're telling me right now in layman's terms, by hook or by crook, they got us all.
Maybe. But it's the ontogeny, the progression, the litany of lies that I've had to face for the last 4 years. And it's why I get so upset and so passionate about these killers that continue to this very day. Why I call the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, the American Board of Obstetrics and Gynecology, and the Society for Maternal Fetal Medicine, the unholy trinity of the mother baby death cult. To this very day, they're pushing it in the most vulnerable patients globally. And you got 60,000 OBGYN physicians that go along with this because they've been bribed with their paychecks, and they've been threatened that if they deviate from this, they are spreading misinformation and they will be stripped of their board certification and their licensures. That's what the American Board of Obstetrics and Gynecology did in September of 2021. So we go through that litany of lies, bold face lies, in this article, and it's pretty easy to read.
Yes,
it's
very easy to read. I'm not a reader. I don't enjoy it, but that for me was an easy read.
Now the article that we published in December was another barn burner. You know, and again, these are all on America Out Loud, but what we did was wrote another, went viral, and we exposed how the federal government, the HHS and the CDC in early 2021 spent $182 billion, with a B, billion dollars to capture over 4,000 healthcare systems in the United States of America. And we cite those, we list those. There were, I counted over 131 of those that had received million or more dollars. We look at a hospital system up in New York City that received over $1 billion. We looked at the Sentinel targeted largest, most faith-based hospital that was purposefully targeted in Houston, Houston Methodist, that received their system $350 million. And they bragged to be the first hospital system in the United States of America that mandated the death shot, the COVID vaccine, in their employees. And you may recall the hero, my hero and Maggie's hero, and we got her to comment in this article, was Mary Talley Bowden, who was fired from Houston Methodist for objecting to that. And as fate would have it, you know, justice was ultimately served. A corrupt federal judge okayed that decision by Houston Methodist back in 2021, but another judge overruled that and said it was illegal, so it was overturned. But the damage was already done. The hospital that employed me was also a faith. By the way, they went after Houston in Texas because it was a conservative state. And they wanted a faith-based large hospital system in a conservative state to turn the tide. They did the same thing to my hospital that fired me. SSM Health of St. Louis, almost a $10 billion hospital system. And they bribed them with $306.9 million. I was their number one producer in the Division of Maternal Fetal Medicine. There were 10 or 12 of us by far and away. I was the most experienced, the most published, and arguably the most loved, according to some of my colleagues. But they fired me, allegedly for no cause, but Kevin Ellich, the CEO, said that, well, you know, you're just for 30 minutes in front of my wife, told me what a model physician I was, and he didn't really understand why they were firing me, but, you know, it was for financial reasons. They lost a lot of money. Well, you know, that was a lie, because I was their number one income generator in the division. I saw five times more patients than some of my younger colleagues, and the only person that came close to me, I read twice as many as he did. So I made them the most money by virtue of my expertise, my efficiency, and my knowledge. But yet they Tucker Carlsonized me, like Fox News did to him, because they took that bribe and they had to honor that bribe so that they had to either get rid of me or pay that $306.9 million back. So that's an easy choice. And then they tried to bribe me with $100,000 to get me to keep quiet. That didn't work, turn out too well for them. All you have to do is go to my my Twitter account and looked at my pinned tweet, and you should read that, JATHORPMFM, and they've paid dearly for that. The good Lord gave me a silver platter to expose the corruption. So it's bad. That was December. Now in January, Maggie and I published another America Out Loud, and we find that the same thing happened in early 2021 to all of the faith leaders, okay? The federal government, the White House chief of staff, Jeffrey Zients, oversaw Francis Collins, the head of the NIH, and who else? It was Vivek Murthy, the Surgeon General of the United States of America, oversaw a program called Faiths for Vaccines. And it targeted, now mind you, after 2020, when they allowed pornography and strip bars to stay open and liquor stores to stay open, they shut down churches, right?
Yeah.
Would have been a bad financial situation. Then in May of 2021, they hold this conference with all of these faith leaders, including all faiths, Jewish, Christian, Islam, and many others, got them all together, gave them a lot of money to push the vaccines to their congregations. You can't make this stuff up. This is what they did. They bribed them. They told them misinformation. They read scriptural verses and said the vaccine is a miracle from God and you must take it. This is what they said to these faith leaders. So they took the money and they pushed the vaccines. So, you know, those are the three last articles that we've done. The one this month on the RNA, the call for an immediate moratorium with the consequences of the mRNA COVID vaccines being likely permanently integrated and reverse transcribed into the human DNA. Last month, the faith leaders. The month before that, December, the hospitals were all corrupted. And then, you know, we've done several of them, but the other one that sticks out in my mind is from May of 2023, where Maggie and I did a Freedom of Information Act request, and we proved that the United States Department of Health and Human Services, along with the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC.
Uh-oh. Looks like he froze. Uh-oh. Looks like Dr. Thorpe froze. See if we can't get him back here. Oh, you back, Dr. Thorpe?
Yeah, I'm back.
You froze.
We must have been saying some bad stuff.
where did you leave off there? We were talking about the one from May.
May. In May last year is another very important one for your listeners, and it shows how Maggie Thorpe and I crafted, it took a better part of a year to do it, crafted a Freedom of Information Act request, and we caught the government the United States Department of Health and Human Services, HHS, and the United States Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, we caught them with their pants down. They illegally colluded with an unconstitutional, under-the-table agreement giving the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists millions of dollars through a program called the COVID-19 Community Course, CCC, and in as a quid pro quo, the covenant that they signed, a cooperative care agreement, was that ACOG had to walk in lockstep narrative with the lethal governmental narrative with the vaccine.
Wow.
1,400 pages of documents. So it's, and then ACOG colluded with American ABOG and SMFM, colluded with them, and then they all three, as well as all the other medical subspecialties in September of 2021, said, by God, you follow this, our narrative, and if you don't, you're a misinformer, and we will strip you not only of your board certifications, but also your licensures.
Wow.
That's how it went down. So that's what Maggie and I are doing pretty much full time is now, is doing research and writing. I'm still working clinically. I'm working with a wellness company, but we're focusing on, you know, showing the truth with verifiable, highly cited medical legal publications.
Amazing. So if anybody wants to read these that's listening to the show, I will have the link for the latest one in the description of the podcast. Everybody can click the link, and then if you're well versed on the interweb, you can find the other ones through the
America Out Loud, and it's a terrific platform. It's got a variety of incredible authors that write short pieces like we do. It's got a podcast and live interviews. It's a really, really good platform for truth.
Okay. I wonder if they'd let me post my show on there.
I bet they would. You have to get a hold of Malcolm.
I'll give her a shot. I got a fun subject for you today. I sent you a text message. It has a picture in it. The picture of that piece of paper is that piece of paper got sent to me during the COVID-19 pandemic and the rollout of the COVID vaccine. What it states on there is that I had some kind of health problem, and I was put into the group with the 60 to 65 range to receive the COVID vaccine. I was put in phase two. Very interesting, because I don't have any health issues. Now, for the people that have been listening to the show for a while, I lost that piece of paper and I could not find it, and I knew I took a picture of it. So I recently went in to the cell phone provider and I said, hey, I don't like the Samsung I have. I want an iPhone. So I went through my photos and I was like, oh my Lord, that picture's back. Thank God. Now I can start talking to people about it, because that piece of paper that was sent to me, one, scared the crap out of me, because I don't know that I have a health issue. So I don't like going to the doctor. So how do they know that I have a health issue? And why am I grouped into this group of elderly people when at that point in time, I wasn't even 40 years old yet. But it's a very interesting piece.
This is a frightening letter.
is it not?
You just wonder if they didn't just make this shit up and send it to everybody.
Well, I only know of two other people that have that letter in my area. And it's a fairly substantial area, but the two other people that I do know that have it talk out loud just as much as I do. So it's terrifying.
Did you comply?
I did not, no.
Good.
No.
I've never seen anything like that. That's horrible, Tanner.
I found a loophole in the system. You want to hear the loophole?
Yeah.
So in Canada, they were handing out these cards. where you would get your vaccine date and signed by the doctor. So I just walked into the clinic, grabbed one of those cards, and filled it out myself.
Wow. That's awesome. That is awesome.
But that letter that you have in your possession now is one of the scariest thing that's ever been sent to me in the post, ever.
That's horrible. That's unbelievable. I wonder if the same thing went on down here in the United States. I haven't seen letters like that, but it certainly wouldn't surprise me.
So that there's from Health Saskatchewan.
And, you know, neither of those people that signed it have credentials to make that diagnosis and recommendation.
No.
I don't see an MD after either. I don't even see an RN after either of their names.
No.
They're bureaucrats.
So why would they send those out? I'm guessing to get people to comply, that maybe people that they thought weren't going to go get. I don't know.
Frightening.
But that
what
that's
was the date on that again?
What was the date on that? For the folks that are listening via audio, this one might be a little tough, but
March 23rd, 2021.
So very early on.
Yeah.
Very, 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 very early on. So in that phase two, that age group was 60 to 65, I believe.
Wow.
So at that point in time, I was still in my 30s. I'm 41 years old now.
Wow. You know, what's frightening is Dr. Denis Rancourt's data that actually shows that the exact opposite was true, that there's actually a steep rise in the mortality of the vaccine with age increase, which is really frightening as well. That's really, really scary data. And, you know, I think that data, Dr. Rancourt's data, now I've corroborated, I spent dozens of hours reviewing. You know, he's got a 180-page thesis on his website going over that data. And I've watched him for hours and hours debate other, quote, experts in the world that have challenged him. He cuts them up to pieces and spits them out. I mean, his data are overwhelming. Just overwhelming data. And you know, by his data, 17 million global citizens killed by the mRNA COVID vaccine. That was as of last September. And his data are compelling. And then the data that I added to that I supplement that with is Pfizer's own data from their 90-day post-market rollout, which was available March 1st or February 28th, 2021. So it was actually not 90 days, but it was more like 10 weeks or 70 days, because it went from December 14th, 2020 to February 28th, 2021. That's 10 weeks. And in that 10 weeks, according to Pfizer's own legally mandated rollout of the first 90 days adverse events, there were 42,082 adverse events or casualties, including 1,223 dead.
Wow.
Which, when you subtract the deaths out of those and you look at the number of injured and you do the injured to kill ratio, it's an unprecedented injured to kill ratio, more than military wars, more than the atomic weapons dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. The injured to kill ratio, like for every one person killed, there was 33.4 individuals injured. And many of those were severe injuries. Just to give you, so you take Denis Rancourt's data of 17 million killed, you multiply that times 33.4, you get 567 million global citizens injured and another 17 million global citizens killed, for a whopping 585 million global citizens killed or injured. Stunning.
Oh,
absolutely stunning. And when you compare that with Hiroshima and Nagasaki, where the first, you know, Oppenheimer, you know, developed the first two atomic bombs, and, you know, in New Mexico, in that secret program that they had. And then they dropped the first two atomic weapons, I believe 10 kiloton and 20 kiloton on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, respectively. When you add up the killed, the injured, there were, I say only, but with those two atomic weapons dropped in Hiroshima and Nagasaki, there were only 94,000 injured. There were 105,000 killed, for an injury-to-kill ratio of 0.9. So you can see the enormous, extreme danger of this bioweapon, mRNA technology. You know, heretofore, the most dangerous drug, Tanner, ever released in the history of the world was thalidomide. And thalidomide was used, interestingly, by a group of, it was developed by a group of Nazis, literal Nazis, from under Hitler's regime, in a pharmaceutical company. And it was dispensed between 1957 and 1962. And the best research that I can come up with is that it was fatal in, it injured or killed every preborn that was exposed to it, if it was exposed to it at the right time. But in that whole fiasco, there were 20,000 injured and 80,000 killed, for an injury to kill ratio of only 0.25, meaning for every one individual that was killed, only a quarter of that were injured. So you compare that to the enormity of an injury to kill ratio of thalidomide of 0.25 with that of the mRNA vaccine, which is 33.4. It's catastrophic.
So what a lot of people are missing is that this is the biggest mass murder in the history of mankind.
It is. And it was perpetrated by my government, not by...
Uh-oh. We froze again. Hopefully he'll come back fairly quickly this time. But, you know, he's back. I don't know why we keep freezing up, but we kind of froze on that. This is the biggest mass murder in the history of mankind. So
it is, and it was perpetrated.
Yep, go ahead.
I think I'm getting an unstable internet. I wonder if that's on my end.
I don't know quite what's happening here. But what you were saying is it was perpetrated by the American government.
Right. Not by China, not by North Korea, not by Iran. I'm doing a speed test here now. I got good. Yeah, I
don't know why we're freezing, because I got good too. obviously they don't like what we're talking about.
It's that pervert fascist premier.
Probably.
Yeah.
Be my guess. what was I getting? I had something on my mind I was going to say. That photo that I sent you, feel free to share that with your friends.
I will do that, Tanner,
because you don't, I've seen two other letters like that in my life. I don't know if you'd ever see one in America, but
never.
It's a terrifying thing that they can send you a letter in the mail to make you go get a murder shot.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Next question for you. Does your wife ever do podcasts?
You know, I she does. Likes to stay behind the scenes, but she's developing more and more courage as she's put up with all of my shenanigans over the last 4 years. And she's doing really well. We've done a few podcasts together now.
Okay.
I think we've done three or four of them together, and she's done really, really well. Yeah.
Because I think what I really enjoy talking to you. You have a lot of insight on not just the medical side of what's going on. I'd like to do a part three down to maybe in a month or two, because a whole lot is going to change in the landscape in another month or two. But if your wife would be willing to come on,
I will ask Maggie.
because just on the legal side of things, I. Oh, we froze again. We're gonna have to wrap this thing up. Hopefully he comes back. All right, we're gonna have some dead space again, guys, because we keep freezing. Hopefully, I apologize to the listeners. We got dead space again. I'll just run a real quick wellness company ad while we're waiting for Dr. Thorpe to come back, and then I'll wrap this thing up. But TWC.health/final shot. Go there, check out the spike. Go there and check out the spike support. Dr. Thorpe hung up. But check out the spike support, guys. If you can get it in your medicine cabinet, I highly recommend that you do. Just through what we were hearing from Dr. Thorpe tonight, with what's happening with the shots, with the shedding and the going into the placenta and breast milk, the be and then what I'm hearing about maybe injecting the mRNA into our food, the best thing that we can do is probably get this spike protein out of our system. So from my conversations with the doctors that I've had up until this point, the best way to do that is going to be, there's going to be a routine that you're going to have to do on a probably a quarterly basis. It's going to start with getting the spike support into your system, magnesium, vitamin D, vitamin C, high levels of these, high levels of zinc, like 10 to 20,000 IUs of zinc, high levels of vitamin D, 20,000 IUs of vitamin D, and then doing a 72-hour fast once every 3 months. So it's going to be stuff like that. I don't know if Dr. Thorpe's coming back. I'm going to give him another 10 seconds. And if not, then I'm going to wrap this thing up. But TWC.health/final shot. Just make sure you guys share this with your friends. You guys can follow me on Instagram. It's Bad Guy TFS or Final Shot Podcast on Instagram. Twitter is Podcast TFS. Facebook is the Final Shot Podcast. And if you guys want to send me an email, it's finalshotpodcast@gmail.com. But thank you everybody for listening. That's the final shot.